Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Committee will come to order, and we ask you to silence all electronic devices. I'll start with mine. We have a $500 fine if yours goes off. The sergeant at arms in the back will collect the fine, or we have a place in the basement of the Capitol.
Don Gates is such a straight man that, it, you know, in the comedic terms, that you almost don't even know he's making a joke. That's a pretty good joke, though. $500, your phone goes off, collections in the basement. Anyway, this was at the Senate Ethics and Elections Committee hearing yesterday, where they were doing the second of two meetings dealing with appointees to a whole bunch of different boards of trustees. And, you know, this head of ACA, one of the members of the state medical board, various people, including board of trustees for UWF and PSC being confirmed or not.
We have 62 appointees on the agenda today, two of whom will appear before the committee. Votes on those appointees will be taken up individually. And additionally, we've had a request from a senator to take a separate vote on the appointee in tab 24, Isla Shapiro, and the appointee in tab 27, Thomas Zachary Smith. So we will take up those appointments individually.
No way there was controversy around Zach Smith's confirmation. You're kidding. How could it possibly? Anyway, before we get to how all of this played out, if you want to listen to the Zach Smith analysis, I did that in the 6 o'clock hour of the podcast page, newsradio923.com, or, as you should long ago have done, download the app, News Radio Pensacola. It's very easy to access. John does such a good job of putting those up, so they're all available for you. That's the 6 o'clock hour. For now, though, let's talk about Adam Kissel. I find Adam Kissel to be a very frustrating case, and I'll tell you why. Adam Kissel, of the people who have been opposed for the UWF Board of Trustees, remember we had the one guy who was brought in, he was controversial, Scott Yenner, and then he got booted, basically bowed out. Adam Kissel had also gotten controversy, and then he stayed in, and then Zach Smith slid under the radar, you know, and then suddenly he's a huge problem. He's the one most personally responsible for ousting Martha Saunders. She may have been retiring anyway, but, you know, it was an ugly incident. And he's been doing the same thing at PSC with Ed Meadows, or so I read it as. But that's, again, conversation for the 6 o'clock hour. Adam Kissel, meanwhile, you know, he's not from here. At least Zach is from here. Adam Kissel is not from here. He's from out of state. And, you know, he's got Heritage Foundation ties and all of that. And he said some things about the GI Bill in the past and, you know, the desire to privatize higher education or at least create a competitive environment for higher education. And so he's basically angered a lot of the liberals. Okay. But here's the funny thing about him is on the board, he's been fantastic. And even the people who were against the appointees from the governor who have done so much damage on the board and have acted as a block vote and were responsible for the super shady way that we got our new president, again, not an objection to Manny, but the way we got there was completely inappropriate. That was all orchestrated by the new appointees. Well, Adam Kissel hasn't been the bad guy in this. In fact, the good people like Lonzy Scott and even Dick Baker said he's fabulous. Like, after they got to work with him and got to know him, and they praised him because he really has been. So he's gotten a very unfair reputation, I think a misguided reputation for being a problem on the board. So he gets asked a lot of questions when he is. And now this is last week, not yesterday, but this is last week at the Senate Higher Education Appropriations Committee.
1 year ago, when I first became a trustee, members of this committee didn't know me. You had to make your best guesses about what I would do. And so now I'm delighted to have the opportunity to tell you what I did do. The University of West Florida is stronger than ever. Trustee Smith gave you a great list of some of our strengths. We have more than 15,000 students in more than 100 academic programs. We have a great new president, Manny Diaz, and that's thanks to the leadership of Trustee Smith and Chair Rebecca Matthews.
Oh, man, I wish he wouldn't have said that part because it was the calling it a conspiracy would probably require evidence of, you know, sunshine violations, okay? And I'm not saying that happened. But it was a super weird pattern, the way that Rebecca Matthews picked Zach Smith to chair the committee to select the president, and then Zach Smith cut from, what, 70 or whatever, 80 down to 1 instead of 3 like state statute is supposed to require. Then they claimed there was some emergency necessity, the inability to do it the other way. I mean, it was all terrible, absolutely terrible. So, you know, leadership slash really harsh manipulation and abuse of the system is how I would describe it. But in any case, he's right, okay, that they did produce that result. We'll come back to this in a second because, again, that aside and his participation in that aside, I think Adam Kissel has been actually genuinely outstanding on the board. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. But if you're on 98 westbound headed toward Gulf Breeze through that construction zone, you're experiencing a 17-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the testimony that Adam Kissel was giving at the Florida Senate Appropriations for Higher Education Subcommittee. Anyway.
With my help, UWF adopted an institutional neutrality policy. That's the kind of policy that keeps the university out of politics and protects the academic freedom, especially of the faculty.
This is a good thing. Yes, right. Celebrate it.
I'm the one who started that discussion, and I helped our excellent provost, Jeremy Kuhl, get the text of that in a good place.
Yes.
Also, on my very first day as a trustee a year ago, I moved to get the Argos a green light for free speech from FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. And I'm proud that UWF has just this week made the final changes to its last document that should give us that green light from FIRE.
Yeah, that's great too. Certification from FIRE is great. And see, what I like about this is Adam Kissel is talking about the things he actually has done on the board that were good. You know, as opposed to like when Zach Smith gave his testimony, what he did is try to take credit for the things that Martha Saunders did. And then he just happened to have been there when they were happening. But anyway, I can't stop myself. I'm sorry. I'm so frustrated about this. It's genuinely frustrated. So anyway, back to Adam Kissel being asked a question about his comments in the past about privatizing higher education. How can you be on the board of trustees for a public higher education institution when you have said in the past that you don't really believe in as much public higher education? And his answer?
So one is, I would love to see the population of Florida be so prosperous that we would no longer need to subsidize higher education. Wouldn't anyone want to see that level of prosperity for the state of Florida?
As in, wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to pay for public higher ed because we were all doing so well that we could just afford to do private higher ed? And that, I mean, you know, pretty noble idea. It's never going to happen. But, you know, as a goal, who would be opposed to that?
But let me offer one other point. In K-12, when we talk about school choice, we say that the money should follow the child. The money goes to the student and then to the school of one's choice. And why don't we do this for higher education? Why shouldn't we put public and private colleges on a level playing field to compete for students on the basis of quality and their own values? So if money followed the student and every institution had its own ability to compete on an equal footing for those education dollars, the state could still be supporting higher education, but there would be a lot more competition and a much healthier kind of competition, I think, would improve all the schools in Florida.
I've never heard it before, but it's an interesting idea. If we believe that vouchers create competition, allow for choice, where you can take your education participation where you want to go with the state money that would be spent on you getting that education, what if the subsidy that the state pays for public higher education were available to individuals to carry with them as a voucher either to UWF or FSU or Florida or UCF or to some private school in the state, because we'd be accomplishing the goal? Why should we discriminate against private schools in the pursuit of higher education? Why should we tell students that we will only spend money on you if you go to our delivery mechanism? I think that's a great point. If you believe in vouchers, you should believe in vouchers. Interesting theory. So anyway, you know, that's what he winds up talking about. And he winds up getting criticized by the members of that committee for, you know, being a member of the Heritage Foundation or being, you know, a partner with the Heritage Foundation or whatever. It's just such a sort of a misstep unrelated to anything. But then they get back to yesterday. And yesterday we ran into some drama at the Higher Education Committee, or sorry, the Ethics and Elections Committee, which is Don Gates's committee. That's step two. So we already got through step one, 5-1, Adam Kissel. And then yesterday, step two, we get this announcement.
Tab 3, Adam Kissel is recommended by the governor to the board of trustees of the University of West Florida. Mr. Kissel has declined to appear before the committee, and consequently his nomination shall be temporarily postponed.
Dude. And TP'd when it's the last meeting of the committee is you're done here. There's nothing else to do unless the president bypasses the process and takes him straight up with the board, which, you know, maybe he will. I wouldn't think so. But by the way, the consequence of that is, as Tina Polsky mentioned, I think that he, you know, he can't even be appointed by the governor now. Like, that's it. He's done. He's off the board, I would think, is what this means.
Mr. Smith is part of the Heritage Foundation. We already have Adam Kissel on there, who may or may not be on there after failing to get confirmed 2 years in a row. We voted down Mr.
That's right, because he was said no to last year. And then this year, you know, well, he pulled his own participation in the process off.
Voted down Mr. Kissel. I think for some of the very same reasons we would have to vote down Mr. Smith. I don't think that members of the Heritage Foundation should be at our public universities for all the things that they stand for. I certainly don't think we need two members of that on a very small trustee board. So I urge you all to vote him down as well.
And I did talk about this in the 6 o'clock hour, but it bears repeating. What an amazing statement of liberal privilege in higher education. She feels so comfortable that it is so obvious that a conservative institution like the Heritage Foundation is so ill-fit and inappropriate to have anybody affiliated with them to be on the Board of Trustees for higher education. I mean, my God, you know, what an incredible statement. Liberals are fine. Conservatives need not apply. So, as I've said in the past, you know, I'm actually with the governor in his efforts to de-woke our higher education to sort of create some par, you know, some kind of comparable representation by conservatives with liberals on higher education boards. I agree with that completely. Having taught in higher ed for 10 years, I completely agree with that. And it's not ever been better said than the just blatant bigotry that Tina Polsky says, I would never allow somebody who's with the Heritage Foundation to serve on any of our boards across the state. Really? I mean, that's an amazing statement. So, you know, they voted, they confirmed Zach Smith 4-3. Adam Kissel did not appear, and so it looks like he's done. Kudos to Rick Outzen doing some pretty good reporting on this, that basically Kissel had said, it's going to be hard for me to get there. Can I do it, you know, like, can you send me, you know, the questions? I'll send you answers instead of having to be on a Zoom because I'm teaching a class at that time. And Gates writes back and says, told Rick, said, I wrote him back a letter which said we don't do things that way. If we request you to appear, we expect you to appear, and we don't have a procedure for submitting written questions to a nominee and getting written answers back. It would be unprecedented. We're not going to do it. So if you don't appear, we're not going to take up your nomination. The Senate Ethics and Elections Committee expects that a nominee whose presence is requested by a senator will attend his or her confirmation hearing and directly respond to questions. Your offer to respond by written questions in lieu of appearing is not contemplated in the committee's procedures and would be unprecedented. So if you do not appear, he'll temporarily postpone. And since that's the last meeting, you know, you're not going to be acted on by the Senate. And so that's exactly what happened. So here's where we wind up. It looks like the guy who I think is, though he's been opposed, particularly by liberals, but opposed in general, and has gotten a lot of controversy and got voted no on, the one who's actually good on the board is not going to be on the board. Meanwhile, Zach Smith, who has flown under the radar and not described his activities in full to the board and not bragged about the things that I think he is secretly most proud of accomplishing, and has skated through several times and is going to be back on both boards most likely. Sweet. That's just fantastic. I'm so happy. I'm Andrew McKay.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Is your house your dream home? Or at least, is it on the way there? Maybe it's time for a change. Maybe all you really need to turn your house into your dream home is an appliance upgrade. When it's time for an upgrade, then it's time to visit Topps Appliance in Milton. They're locally owned and operated. They have top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, and stoves to dependable washers and dryers. Topps Appliance carries the brands you know and trust, like GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and more. Topps Appliance in Milton. They offer delivery and installation, something you won't get from the big box stores. And they have many items in stock, so you can take your new appliance the very same day. Topps Appliance. Check them out at toppsappliance.net on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street. Turning your house into your dream home. Topps Appliance.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, I like that hat, man. You sell men's clothes? Where you got that?
Where's that from, John?
Yes, but I've heard it.
Footloose.
Oh, my.
Kevin Bacon talking to his new friend at the new school, right? You know?
See, I'm going to have to go back and watch a whole bunch of movies. That way I can be like, Andrew, guess what I know?
Good luck with that project. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
No accidents to report to you right now, but I'm seeing some delays on 98 westbound as you approach Gulf Breeze through that construction zone, experiencing about an 18-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You ever feel like, you know, your pastor, okay, knows more than you do about the Bible?
Well, of course.
At least I would hope, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then you start to think about, and it seems like the gap is widening. Like, they spend, you know, hours and hours and hours a week praying and studying and researching and writing and, you know, you're doing some radio show, you know, watching baseball and football.
Right.
So the gap is ever widening, right?
Right.
Okay, well, I watch a lot of my movies again and again. So if you want to catch up, bro.
Widening. The gap is I got you now.
The gap is widening.
The gap is widening.
It'd be like me saying, I'm going to go learn that country music.
Whoa.
So like, and you got like how many decades on me?
I got 4 decades.
It always makes me laugh. It always makes me laugh inside when you reference some country artist and
I know
expecting me to have any earthly idea who that is. It cracks me up. Anyway,
hey, we'll teach you one day.
If you're thinking about the next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an excellent selection of good quality used cars. About 300 on the lot. They sell about half every month, so they're constantly turning over the inventory. Cars that are 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 years young, you know, 10 to 30 or 40,000 miles is kind of their sweet spot. A-conditioned cars, good prices. They've been one owner, maybe two. Okay, it depends. But one of the things I recommend you do is it's nice to have so many cars in one place. So, you know, you really only have to meet ever like one salesperson, and you don't even have to really meet him. Just say, Andrew says I can tell you to leave me alone. Just give me the keys. I mean, I don't recommend you be rude like that, but, you know, you can if you want to. And then just go drive a bunch of cars. And if you're going to buy a van, okay, drive a bunch of vans, that's fine. But if you're going to drive a sedan, drive a bunch of sedans, that's fine. But drive something out of your range. Drive something unusual. Think of it as fun. You know, if you've never driven a, you know, a sports car, ask them what you got. You know, let me try one. Just, you might decide that's, I don't want a truck and now I know why. Or you might be like, a truck, you say. You never know. Maybe you're a truck person and you didn't ever know it. Well, find out. Drive one. You never know. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
New satellite images show widespread destruction inside Iran following U.S.-Israeli strikes. U.S. Central Command says American forces hit more than 1,250 targets in the first 2 days of Operation Epic Fury. Imagery shows burning ships and damaged facilities at naval bases along the Persian Gulf, along with smoke rising over Tehran. Iran responded, of course, with missile and drone strikes of its own, damaging a port city in the United Arab Emirates and targeting the region's largest maritime hub. A pilot and passenger swam to shore safely after their Cessna made an emergency landing in the Hudson River last night. The plane took off from Long Island when the pilot was forced to put down in the water. Both occupants were able to free themselves and swim to shore. They were taken to a hospital with minor injuries. The FAA is investigating that. And Andrew, there's some new research out that finds eating a handful of pecans every day might improve your cholesterol and support your heart health. Analysts say they looked at more than 50 studies spanning decades and found regular pecan eaters showed lower total and LDL cholesterol. I should mention, though, that the study was supported by the American Pecan Promotion Board.
Absolutely.
But the researchers say that didn't influence their results.
Well, when your product is, what, $15 a pound, you know, for pecans? You know? Absolutely. Pecans are good for you. Research from the people who advertise for pecans says so. You can trust it. They are.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Operation Epic Fury, where we stand. Fox's Nate Foy.
President Trump says a big wave of American attacks is coming soon. The U.S. has also sunk 11 Iranian ships. Defense officials tell Fox Iran only has small boats left, but still could mine the Strait of Hormuz. Iran says it's closed. The U.S. says it is not.
AAA says the national average price of gas up 11 cents a gallon overnight. The dead now six U.S. service members. Israel says 1,000 enemy combatants killed, with Iran's missile capability degraded 50%. The U.S. continues pounding Iran missiles and command and control. President Trump hosting German Chancellor Friedrich Merz, who says this is the moment to stand together in unity. Democrats don't feel the same. More members being briefed today who want to limit the president's war powers. As Homeland Secretary Kristi Noem speaks in the Senate, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got cloudy skies. It is 63 degrees here across the area. We'll get to our full forecast. That's up in just a few minutes with meteorologist Brooke Richardson. Well, we are learning a bit more about what happened at Naval Air Station Pensacola yesterday. Commanding Officer Captain Chandra Newman says Navy security forces responded to an unauthorized access on the base. Newman praised employees who reported that incident and said security is an all-hands responsibility. They have made a change until further notice for visitors to the NAS. All visitors over 18 now must be vetted through the Visitor Control Center. That's at the main gate. Vetted visitors will have to leave the main gate and go around to the west gate at the end of Blue Angel Parkway. And that's where they can get into access the public areas such as the National Naval Aviation Museum. Well, the Milton mother accused of stabbing her 6-year-old daughter to death made a troubling appearance in court on Monday. During her detention hearing, April Oliva began speaking about her daughter in the present tense, describing her features, hair color, eyes, and birthday as if the child were still alive. The judge had to ask her to stop talking. Oliva told the court she had no idea why she was being held. Her attorney requested a mental evaluation and a competency test. Oliva is due back in court on March 16th. Two Escambia County schools are getting new STEM labs thanks to Florida Power and Light. Sherwood Elementary and Bellevue Elementary each received $50,000 classroom makeover from FPL. The schools used the funding to outfit their labs with VR goggles, robotics gear, 3D printers, hydroponics tables, and smart boards. Reveal events are scheduled for later this month on March 9th. Sherwood will be at 10 a.m. that day, Bellevue at noon that day. Escambia County was one of only 20 districts statewide that received that grant. A freestanding workshop near Flomaton was destroyed by a fire on Monday. Flomaton Fire Chief Steve Stanton says the fire also took out two tractors and a zero-turn mower. The fire is believed to have started from a trash fire the day before that smoldered, reignited, then spread. No injuries were reported. Santa Rosa County waterfront property owners could get free help protecting their property from erosion. The Pensacola and Perdido Bay's estuary program is accepting applications from property owners interested in installing a Living Shoreline. The program covers design guidance, permit assistance, and construction costs through NOAA funding. More than half of Pensacola Bay's shoreline is already hardened with bulkheads. This program aims to reverse that. Interested homeowners can learn more at an open house on March 19th. That'll be at the Baghdad Community Center in Milton. You can also check out ppbep.org for more information on the program. It is 8:35 at News Radio. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Still rolling accident-free, but not delay-free if you're on 98 westbound headed toward Gulf Breeze through that construction zone, experiencing about a 15-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be looking at some beautiful conditions today with temperatures warming up near 72 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. For Wednesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 74. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 61. Heading into Thursday, partly cloudy skies, high near 75 degrees. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 66. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, 63 degrees. We've got cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. And your money now this hour. Taking a look at our markets at the opening bell. They are all down today. The Dow is down about 1 3/4, 894 points at 48,010 and a half. The S&P is down 1 1/3%. That's 118 points at 6,763 and nearly 3/4. And then the NASDAQ currently down about 463 points at 22,286. And just under 3/4 right now. Looking at that 10-year bond rate, it's up at 4.1%. Oil prices today up another 8.6% at $77.32. Gold prices down $163.20 at $5,148.40. Silver's down $6.93 at $81.92. And Bitcoin is down more than $2,200 today at $66,929 right now. Taking a look at some of our financial headlines. Oil shipping through the Strait of Hormuz is, pretty much at a standstill. Iran's threatening to attack any tankers that try to pass through the critical energy corridor. Tony Waterman says, reporting that consumers could feel effects from that very soon.
Brent crude oil prices surged as much as 12% on Monday, pushing the benchmark above $80 a barrel for the first time in more than a year. Strong U.S. supply helped temper the rise, but experts say the longer the conflict drags on, the more prices will go up.
About a fifth of the world's oil typically moves through the strait. That movement has ground to a halt since Operation Epic Fury began. Hundreds of tech workers have signed a letter urging the Pentagon to end restrictions on Anthropic. That includes people from IBM, OpenAI, and Slack. On Friday, the Pentagon listed Anthropic as a supply chain risk after the company said Claude could not be used for mass surveillance on Americans or to launch attacks that lack human control. Apple's unveiling the iPhone 17e as part of their new hardware rollout this week. It's going to start at about just under $600, $599, and it'll be in stores starting next Wednesday, March 11th. Apple calls it, quote, a powerful and more affordable solution to the iPhone 17 lineup, end quote. 8:38, our next news at 9, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sonny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Daniel will not stop crying. I've changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple Crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple Crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
You don't always have time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew three sizes that day.
Now, I know that's a Christmas reference, but it is also a yesterday reference. Of course, yesterday we did not do the frivolous topic because, you know, war with Iran, or near war, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. You know what it means. But the question of the day, since yesterday was Dr. Seuss's birthday, although, of course, Ted Geisel is no longer with us. My question for you, 437-1620, what's your favorite Dr. Seuss book? 437-1620. John, on the spot, I gave you the Grinch, if that's what you're going to go with, but what you got?
Cat in the Hat.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
I was a bit in between that and Green Eggs and Ham.
Okay.
But Cat in the Hat, I think.
Green Eggs and Ham is a great book.
I know.
I do not
Makes
like
me
it.
Hungry.
Sam, I am. Right? That's a really, really good book. Can I confess before we get into talking about this
Uh-oh,
with the listeners? 437-1620. I've never been a big Cat in the Hat fan.
What? What's wrong?
I love Dr. Seuss. Like, I was raised by a liberal mom, and I still to this day love Dr. Seuss. Liberal political values, though, they most of them are, you know, politically critical anyway of a lot of things. You know, like Marvin K. Mooney, Will You Please Go Now, arguably written about Nixon, you know, needs to leave office, you know. There was even an editorial, Richard M. Nixon, Would You Please Go Now, you know. The stubborn, defiant, obstinate troublemaker, you know, get out. Anyway, but for whatever reason, I don't know, Cat in the Hat's never been my thing. And I know it's kind of like how you love a band and they have this one song that's super popular and you're like, that is the worst song they ever made.
but I love the rest of the songs are great.
But everybody else knows that as their song, right? Mm-hmm. That's the one that they're famous for. So, yeah, no, that's not my favorite at all. 437-1620. Yeah, no, fair enough. So I don't. It's hard to pick amongst your children like this, you know, because I do. I'm a huge fan of so many of them. But certainly one of the ones I'd put near the top of the list.
I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a thneed, and a thneed's a fine something that all people need. Nobody needs a thneed. But it's, and of course, that's an environmentalist track, but it's a very, very good one. I think that's not my favorite. I think that's just well known, and I've picked a couple that happen to be made into movies. 437-1620, 437-1620. Tell me what is your favorite Dr. Seuss book, and there's a wide range of answers, of course, you could give. There's all kinds of ones, and I'm sure some of you can show off your Dr. Seuss knowledge by picking one that's a little bit more obscure. You know, we started with the easy ones, right? Pick me one that's a little bit more obscure. I won't judge you if you pick a common one. That's fine. Maybe secretly.
Yeah, you will.
Somebody says, Are You My Mother? Oh, that's such a delightful book. That's the little bird walking around all creation asking different creatures, you know, are you my mother? I think the little bird actually talks to a steam shovel at one point. Are you my mother? It's very confusing because it's a crane. Anyway, I mean, it's a steam shovel, but not a crane. Somebody says, go dogs, go. Oh, that is a good. I love that. I haven't read that in a long time.
Oh, my goodness.
That's with the dogs at the stoplight, and then they stop, and then the go light, and then all the dogs, big dogs, little dogs in their cars. Oh, it's a wonderful book. Fox and Socks. Fox and Socks is probably the one I have read the most times. That Fox and Socks, not to give away my secret or nothing, but Fox and Socks is a good, like, third date book.
Huh? Third date?
Yeah, read it to a girl as a third date. Go read books together.
Okay. If you say so.
Worked out pretty good for me 30 years later. So
maybe back in the day that was the thing.
I hope to never have to do that again. I'm just saying that that's a, that worked okay for me. Jonathan Livingston Seagull was my other one. I'll read that too. But no, Fox and Socks is a great one because it shows your ability to,
to read,
memorize and read and, And then Tweedlebeetle's Battle in a Bottle in a Puddle. I mean, it's a great book. There's fantastic elements of that book. Not the Fox and Socks part is good, but all of the tongue twisters in that book are just fantastic.
What happened to like going to a movie or, anything else like that?
Okay. I mean, you do your dating your way. I'll do my dating my way.
Okay.
We're going to get plenty of movies in the relationship. We don't need to always have movies in the relationship. Let's see. Green Eggs and Ham. I made that for my kids when they were young. Oh, fantastic. Such a good book. I don't mean to give away the ending, but the beautiful part about that is it's with an obstinate kid, right, who won't try it.
Right.
How do you know? And then they try it and they're like, yummy. It's about getting kids to try different food. It's a great allegory. How the Grinch Stole Christmas, of course, is fantastic. Somebody here says, Traffic on the Fives, John, before I forget. Go ahead.
That's right. Brought to you by Florida West. Economic development is about building our economy for all current and future residents. And this traffic is brought to you by Florida West Economic Development Alliance. Still rolling accident-free right now, but still seeing those delays on 98 westbound as you approach Gulf Breeze through the construction zone, experiencing a 12-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the Five.
Thanks so much, John. Why would Tweedlebeetles battle in a bottle on a new leading poodle? Well, it's confusing, but that's why it's fun to say.
Did you actually read the book to her?
1,000%, yeah.
I mean, I get discussing books.
You never read kids' books as a date? You didn't do coloring books?
No.
John, we need to talk about your dating strategies. coloring books is a great date.
I can't color inside the lines. What are you, crazy? I don't know what colors to match.
Maybe not a great date for you. Okay.
I mean, we do color by numbers. Yeah, let's do that.
Go painting together. I mean, do fun stuff. Don't do standard stuff. Do fun stuff.
Okay.
Let's see. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty are outstanding at this. 175 homes sold 3 years ago, 165 homes sold 2 years ago, and last year, 209. Up in a down market. A lot of times selling homes that other realtors don't successfully sell. Which is, she's the second, third, fifth realtor or more. And there has been at least one time where it was even more. And it's crazy to think about. But one thing you might not think about her for is buying a new home, a home built for you. Why would you need to have a realtor? Well, because A, she can help you make sure everything goes right. But B, make sure you get the right deals and discounts because builders are motivated and they will do a lot of things. But you may not know what to ask for, what's reasonable, what's in the range, what's unreasonable. And she can tell you, points, closing costs, upgrades on things that are installed, whatever the case may be. And then when you get the home, she'll walk through that with the blue tape and point out fix, 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 fix. Because you might not think it's fair to ask for so many things to be fixed. You might think something's wrong that's actually not wrong. But more importantly, you want to make sure you get the home that's brand new, like you deserve, and she'll make sure you get that. Anyway, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, just really good at this. 786-3996. What, John? What you got? You trying to picture my dating strategy?
Yes, but someone replied to you. Yeah.
All right. I remember one day with my wife, we went to one of the theaters in one of the halls, and I think we read Shakespeare, actually. Like back and forth. I think it was Romeo and Juliet. I don't remember what book it was. It might have been Romeo and Juliet. That's not a great date idea because Shakespeare is hard to digest. But, it's fun. It's memorable. And like I said, almost 30 years later, it works. 437-1620. Let's see. Fox and Socks. Oh, the question of the day. It was Theodore Geisel, Dr. Seuss's birthday yesterday. We're going to celebrate him a little bit after the fact. Favorite Dr. Seuss book. Somebody says Fox and Socks. So many great ones. I love Fox and Socks so much. I like too many Dr. Seuss books to pick one. Don says, if I ran the circus, is a great one. Yes. And to think that I saw it on Mulberry Street, also a great one, although currently censored. Mulberry Street is not made anymore. I think If I Ran the Circus is also censored on the banned list because of the portrayal of Asian people, among other things. You know, there's some bits and pieces in some of these books that are not great, but the books themselves are fantastic. Oh, the Butter Battle book. Yes. That's a commentary on wartime escalation and nuclear war. Great book, by the way. Oh, the Places You'll Go has become a very common gift to graduating seniors. You know, probably in the last 30 years, that's become something you give them. It's a great one. Horton Hatches an Egg, yes, and Horton Hears a Who, which has now produced the fairly well-known slogan, a person's a person, no matter how small, which did not have anything to do, that book did not have anything to do with the pro-life or abortion cause. In fact, he was always kind of irritated that it got appropriated for that. Understand that. Let's see, Mr. Brown Can Move. Oh, I don't know that one. Interesting. One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish. Yes, I do know that one, of course. Hop on Pop was such a favorite that I read it at my dad's funeral. Are You My Mother is my kid's favorite. Oh, that's delightful. 437-1620. James says that Green Eggs and Ham is the one I remember the most. Eddie says same thing. Green Eggs and Ham, Sam I Am, yes. Let's see. Andrew would not read that book in a nook. He would not read it with a cookie. He would not read it at the brink of dawn. He would not read it with the producer, John.
That's good.
He would not read it in the fall. He does not like it at all. That's like deep devotion. Like, you've adopted the rhyme scheme and the rhythm for Dr. Seuss, which that's fantastic. Craig Heinzman says he used to read Sherlock Holmes to his wife every night while we were dating until we got married. I still read. Yeah.
I'll talk to Craig. No worries.
Hey, it's worked great for him so far. Somebody says all the places you'll go. Meg, who's listening and coming in, says all the places you'll go.
That's what I was laughing about.
John's fiance says, thank you, Andrew. Now we'll do something fun, John, for once.
Oh my goodness.
That's so funny. Oh my God. Okay, so only because I don't want to go without mentioning in them, and they may be ones that you don't know as well. Personal favorites of mine in the category. I Had Trouble in Getting to Solid Saloo, where they never have troubles, at least very few. It's a great book about the grass is always greener, but it's not. Okay, and the key slapping slizzard and all that kind of stuff. That is a genuinely great book, okay? I Had Trouble in Getting to Solid Saloo. Sneetches is another outstanding book. It's essentially all about racism, class, and privilege, but it is a fabulous book. I think Yertle the Turtle is one of the stories in that one, or that's on its own. I can't remember. I think that one's on its own. Also a great book about pride. McElliot's Pool is good. Bartholomew and the Oobleck and the 500 Hats of Bartholomew Cubbins are also just, these are older. Like, in fact, they're printed bigger. They're larger books rather than the small size that most of them are. But those are fantastic, absolutely fantastic. To Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street's a great one. Thidwick the Big-Hearted Moo, Scrambled Egg Super, You're Only Old Once, If I Ran the Circuit. Just, there's a lot. And even McElliot's Pool is a very good one. So go find more Dr. Seuss books. Go find the banned ones. They're worth reading, too. I love it. What does it say? My kid is incredulous. The Cat in the Hat wasn't mentioned. Oh, no, it's the first one John mentioned.
Yeah.
It was the very first one out the gate. So not to lose you in the conversation. But, yes, we did definitely mention that one. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF 1106-7749. Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new My ECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download My ECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
Hey, this is Sean with HQ Barbecue in Hot Pond in Pensacola.
Hey, this is Chad Brillante, Communications Director at Career Source Escarosa.
Hi, I'm Darren Costello, owner of Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, Fine Wine and Cheeses.
What do these businesses have in common? They've trusted our years of marketing experience at ADX Communications.
When our commercials air, we notice an increase in foot traffic, successfully reaching our desired demographic.
And when it comes to reaching job seekers and employers in our community, we look to ADX Communications for digital and radio advertising. Keep up the great work.
I enjoy working with such a great team with the radio station. Dependable, professional, local, and results-driven. ADX Communications.
To have your business become part of our success story, no matter if it's Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, Sports Radio Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola's Playlist 94.5, or the area's most robust digital platform, call us today. 850-262-6000. That's 850-262-6000. And let ADX go to work for you.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Yeah. Stick around.
We move like cagey tigers. John?
No.
Oh. I got possibly the worst burn of my life, like psychological, you know, burn from my 17-year-old yesterday.
What?
I'll tell you in just a second. You got traffic on the fives. Go on, son.
I do. Let's see here. No accidents to report. If you're on 98 westbound going into Gulf Breeze, you're going to see a 12-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. Let's hear it.
We were talking about music, as we do, and he's the one that likes our music. To some degree, you know, he knows a lot of the words to the songs better than I do.
Probably because he listened to it with you.
Yeah, well, with my wife, actually, more than with me. Commuting back and forth to, you know, middle school and whatever. But, you know, so he's the one that actually likes a lot of our music. The other two, the older two, I mean, they don't. Anyway, so we got to talking, and I had asked him if he knew Three Doors Down, because he knows a lot of the music. And he's like, no, I don't know that one, and, you know, I don't know a lot of your music. And I made the very ill-advised follow-up question choice of, well, what is my music? And he said, you know, grandpa rock.
Oh, now, see, you got yourself in that one. Is there something that he needs to tell you?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's why it stung so bad. Like, first of all, there are no grandchildren here.
That we know
so, of. So, no, there's no grandchildren. So, A, false. But, oh, it was, you know, okay boomer. It was an okay boomer moment for me. Grandpa rock. And I thought, yeah, Mike, that one hurts, doesn't it? That stings a little bit. Oh, man, I'm dying over here. And of course, the problem for me is, I mean, just let's be honest. I mean, I'm still very cool with music. For music that's 40 years old. So, and I don't like a lot of new music, and I have listened to some of it, and I play the stuff that I think is good, but I was thinking about it a lot yesterday after he made this comment.
I can tell that it bothered you.
And I'm like, look, it may not be new, but I'm still proud of being a Cure and an Erasure and a Depeche Mode and a Clash and a Big Audio Dynamite and, you know, music. I mean, I'm proud of my music, and I think of myself as a...
Go ahead. I really want to hear this. I really do, Andrew. Please.
I'm a relatively hip musical knowledge guy for music of the last century. And so it was just a grandpa rock. That one sits hard still. I mean, I think the thing I posted, I posted on my Facebook page, I just said, which also should prove something, Facebook and not anywhere else. My 17-year-old just referred to my music as grandpa rock, and now I just want to go lie down for the rest of the year.
There goes his Christmas present.
Yeah, well, yeah, screw him. Oh, you want to go to school? Good. Get your bike. Mm-hmm. 'cause that's how it's going to happen these days. Anyway, 8:59 on News Radio 92.3. What was the other one I was going to tell you about? I don't have time to get into all of that right now. Somebody's texting me, and what are they saying? Oh, they love Dr. Seuss, but we also like a thicker book collection of unconventional poetry, Where the Sidewalk Ends. Yes, Shel Silverstein. And by the way, Shel Silverstein had Where the Sidewalk Ends, and what was the other one? I cannot remember the name of it right now, but The Giving Tree is one of the all-time best. Pulls your heart out every time you read it. Great books by Shel Silverstein.